This is the Final Round Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, episode number 55 on deck. We're going to be catching up with Jim Olin here in just a few minutes to talk a little bit about the upcoming Finger Lakes Speed World events that are scheduled for March 1st through the 3rd at the Finger Lakes Mall in Auburn. So we're looking forward to touching base with him here momentarily. I just rang him and the line was not connecting. So we'll try back in another minute or two and see if hopefully he remembered that we were going to be on tonight. We're going to be hearing a lot from him across all of the motorsports focused podcasts that appear here on Finger Lakes One. We'll be having him on the Crash Course coming up to talk a little bit about the Derby side of things, and we'll be having him on in a couple weeks on the 31st lap as well. A couple programming changes to keep note of. Due to Jason's pending travel to Minneapolis, the wonderful, balmy, sunny Minneapolis, we will be on again next week, and we're going to have a double dip. I think we're going to be having Brandon Terry from the RVA list from Northern Virginia on the air. We were trying to connect with him today as well for an appearance. He's been asking to get on here as they get set to launch their season. So that is sitting out there. So you're going to be seeing possibly three straight weeks of Final Round Drag Racing coverage so that you guys can stay plenty full as we roll towards Finger Lakes Speed World.
Three straight weeks?
Well, yeah, it'd be this week and then next week, and then we got to stay on schedule, right?
Well, no, because I'll be in Minneapolis.
Oh, right.
Here, that was the reason why we're not doing next week's show or show in 2 weeks.
It'll be so much fun. We'll just have it anyway.
Well, we could, I guess.
Do you want to Skype in from the hotel?
If you want to go on late.
What do you got to do in Minneapolis anyway?
Oh, we have our annual sales meeting, which is always so fun. It's always fun to go back, I guess, to the home base, if you will, and see everybody you haven't seen in a year. But
I thought the annual sales meeting was at Empire every year.
Well, there's that one too. I wish it wasn't in January. That's the biggest problem. As you might expect, Minneapolis in January isn't exactly the warmest time of the year to be visiting.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Usually. The second or third weekend of February, we end up in, we've been in Blue Earth, which is the Nicollet County Fairgrounds, and we've been in St. Peter in February for an outdoor demolition derby called Winter Slam.
That sounds terrible.
And we've done DVD work there before, and we've tried to go live, but we've never been able to get a strong enough signal, especially Blue Earth, because you're down at the bottom of an old riverbed.
Yeah.
So, the derby starts at like 1 in the afternoon, and along about 4 o'clock, that sun starts getting real low on the horizon, and it gets cold in a hurry. About 5 years ago, we were out there, and the high for the day was -7, and I was loading. I had these long wool gloves on, and I was loading the batteries for the camera into my sleeve like a shotgun cartridge so that they would stay warm
enough. Try and keep them warm,
sure. So they would stay warm enough to function the cameras. It was an exciting time. With great stories. Last year, we got to meet Andy Shipp out there.
Okay.
He prefers to derby Jaguars because he's from England.
Oh.
He does a lot of banger car stuff out in England and came over from the UK to be part of that with his brother. They build a couple stock cars for him. He'd never done anything like that, and he's coming back this year. He's looking to make a couple trips to the States to come and smash cars, which is kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah. I would say, speaking of which, this is kind of on topic, but kind of not. I saw a video that I caught earlier this week on Facebook of a bunch of guys with their regular RC race cars that decided to, hey, let's have a derby. And my very first thought was, guys, you're doing this all wrong.
That's right. Leave this to the experts, right?
Yeah. Now, a few years ago, I wouldn't have known that. But after hanging around you for a few years, it's like,
Look at how I've enriched your life. You play video games on your phone that eat up money. And
I know all about RC derbies, yes.
the richness of Jason's life. Jim Olin is now waiting in the wings to talk a little bit about Finger Lakes Speed World. Jim, how are you?
We're doing
well, doing real well. I see the page has been busy. You've got all sorts of stuff already planned and in place. I ask you this every year, and this year the same. Is it to a point where this show is now just turnkey and it does it by itself, or is it still taking just as much effort as year one?
I don't think it'll ever be like that. I wish it was. That would be great, where I could just walk in and be like, "Yeah, that's the show," and you know everything. But it just hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Go ahead.
Well,
I mean, I kind of agree that it's not ever going to get to the point where it's just going to fall out of the sky and suddenly be done. But at the same token, you've been doing it long enough where you've got a lot of repeat contacts, and you can almost sort of count on them coming back year after year. It's only going to take one or two phone calls to make that happen versus, you know, some of the more in-depth recruiting that probably took in years past.
Yeah, I had a recruitment marathon that happened because the first year that I got the show, when I took it over from Paul Small, it was basically 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before the show, I took it over. And right. I just started rocking out, like, okay, I gotta get everybody in the world to the show. How am I going to do it? And we did all right the first year. Second year was a little slow, but last year was packed. And mm-hmm. I couldn't have been happier with the turnout, you know. But we got some big names coming back this year, which is good. Also, Oswego Speedway is returning to Speed World this year, so that's a big awesome. Thing for us. So I believe Weedsport's going to come back. I haven't heard anything from them yet, but you know, sure. it's a free show, so why would they miss it? We're going to have Land of Legends Raceway, the former Canandaigua Raceway Park.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right down in front again this year. And, of course, your favorite event, the RC Demo Derby, I hope is going to be returning. I haven't heard from Eddie yet, but I'm sure it's going to be happening.
Ed and I actually talked yesterday. Everything's on deck for that, and it's going to be paired with a big RC race. There's going to be 2 days of RC racing at Velocity Speedway. Yep. Everything's going to be happening right at the track, so there's no worries about trying to find a storefront. And most importantly, probably my favorite part, is we don't have to worry about ruining a floor.
Well, you know what? We actually got the Joann Fabric Space back.
Oh, okay.
So if we want to use that space, we can pretty much do whatever we want with it as long as we clean up the floor and we're done. That floor is a little easier to clean because it's a flat floor. The other one was like that wood grain tile stuff, and yeah, I got a lot of hours into that floor.
so it was.
Yeah, but no, and you know, we have everything getting ready to go. I've been sending in the paperwork and stuff like that to the mall to get all that stuff done, the insurance policies in place, and just one by one, we're starting to put the pieces together. Dave Axton from Highside Racewear, he's always been a part of the show. He's always had a booth there. Mm-hmm. And the first year that I had the show, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll come down and set up some stuff. You know, I'm really not going to, you know, hang out too much. And then the second year he was there full force because he sold a whole mess of fire suits the first year. So the second awesome. Year he came in, and last year he was busy, busy, busy all weekend.
Sure.
So now Dave Axe and Highside Racewear are on as they're actually a paid sponsor of the show, along with Einstein Construction, Paul Colagiovanni, and Land of Legends Raceway. Right. They're all money sponsors this year. I've never had money sponsors. This is good.
What are you ever going to do with yourself now?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways you can cook Spam and Ramen noodles, but you know, I'm tired of living on that. That's kind of the plan for that. And you know, we can move forward this year in a very positive direction. The show is getting a lot of good press, and of course, you know, I have my own internet webcast that I do on Facebook Live on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me an opportunity to talk about Speed World just about every week if I want to.
Sure.
And stuff like that. So, and of course, you know, I do my best to promote what everybody else does too. And it just works out, you know, and we've lived up to the promise of keeping that a free show. There'll never be an admission to the show. There's never going to be any charge to come and display your cars, your organization there. It's always going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe in supporting the sport. I believe in supporting racing. It's not about making money for us.
Sure.
Weekend party.
Right. you know, one of the things, Jason, I was just thinking about is, as we were sitting here talking about, you know, all the different entities that are going to be there, is probably be worth reaching out to ESTA.
Sure.
Close enough.
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? And they were at the Northeast Racing Products Trade Show in Syracuse back in November, and they're typically at the Motorsports Expo in March, which is 2 weeks after I think it was 2 weeks, maybe it's a week after. It's the week after the Finger Lakes Speed World show, and I mean, why not? You know,
there's no doubt. I don't know. Have we ever had anybody, any of the track managers?
No,
anybody?
We haven't.
I don't know anybody at ESTA. I know a couple of guys that compete there. I mean, Vince Mussolino. I mean, he competes there quite often, and mm-hmm. I don't remember if he did the big dollar bracket. I think he did his big dollar bracket race again there this year. I think he expanded in 2018 and ran one at Empire and at ESTA. But I guess, I mean, certainly could reach out to Vince and ask him, hey, is it possible, you know, like I said, I don't know. I don't know who the people are that run ESTA. My understanding is it's a group of people. It's not actually, it's owned right. by a club, essentially, if you
sure.
will.
Kind of the same as like what South Butler does.
Yeah.
It's operated
yeah.
under club direction versus
right.
a single entity.
Right. So, but yeah, yeah, we reach out to them, certainly. I mean, it definitely would make sense for them to have try and have a presence at the show. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, it's on Auburn. It's a stone's throw.
Oh, yeah. yeah. I mean, it's most certainly the closest drag strip to the show. Absolutely.
My issue has been with the bigger tracks like ESTA, like South Butler's always been involved. Gasser Racing Series is involved. You know, it's always been the issue of, you know, oh, what is the show? Where is it? We'll let you know. But I think last year we really kind of got our foot in the door and asserted some kind of presence with the deal. And I spoke with a guy who is a he builds drag bikes that race. All over, and he was at the Northeast Racing Products Show there mm-hmm. back in November. And I talked to that guy. I can't remember his name. I got his card here someplace, but he was set up all the way up north at the building there on the corner. Mm-hmm. And we had a long talk about it, and I gave him a card and offered him the space, you know, to come out. And I mean, it doesn't cost anything. It's just your time to come out and hang out and set up. And you know, for a mall show, you want every piece of eye candy you can get in there, no matter what it is.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I will say it's hard for, let's call it an individual racer in some form or another to justify taking his car out there, right, just on his own for no other reason than to take my car out for a show. But for someplace like a track, I mean, it's PR. It's the opportunity for them to basically, you know, hand out pamphlet schedules for 2019, whatever it would be, and try to generate interest and get paying fans out to your track, right? So it completely makes sense for them to do it.
Well, I think from a marketing standpoint, it makes good sense to have your car there too.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's just sitting there with, if it's just panels on a chassis and there's no motor or anything in it, you know, you can use those pictures next year when you're trying to recruit
absolutely.
Sponsors. And
yep.
these are appearances where your name is out in front of people and we're not flying by at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
You can see it much easier.
Right. I completely agree. Well, and it gives you an opportunity.
And that comes,
go ahead, Jim.
Right, that comes down to the other point of what we do there is that it's not just showcasing your car and your race team, but if you want to bring, let's say you're sponsored by, you know, let's say 31st Lap Podcast sponsors a car, or, you know, Final Round Podcast sponsors a car, then you bring your sponsor out. Your sponsor can set up a table and they can do whatever it is they do if they're there with you. So
right.
if you have a construction company that's a sponsor or a landscaper or something like that, and they want to bring out a display, then by all means, bring it out. This we're here to promote the sport. We're here to help racers build their teams and build, you know, what it is that they do and keep the local businesses going. And most of these sponsors that we have for local race teams are local businesses.
Right.
So. Final Round sponsors one vehicle on the planet. It's a silver minivan.
Well, I say the West New York Super Auto Association sponsors a couple, and one is a Chevy Traverse, and I think the other one's a gold Chevy Malibu.
Right. I've seen participant stickers on both.
It's correct, yes. I don't think we want them in the Speed World show, but yeah, and clearly for anybody that does have sponsors or that is trying to generate sponsorship, I mean, yeah, what's not a better place to have your car on display at a show like this? And it gives you the opportunity when you're not racing to actually talk with people as well, right? And you just never know. I mean, we've had so many conversations with people where it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I had a quick conversation with so-and-so. Next thing I know, it's like, you know, we're having discussions about sponsoring my car and all the rest of it. It happens all the time.
Wasn't the peak sponsorship an accident?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
On Dance Car?
I thought Ed McLeaf's...
That's the one.
...sponsorship was.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was just I'm having a conversation, and, yeah, next thing you know, I'm putting their name on my car type
right.
of thing. So, yeah, you never know. And like I said, throw it in the mall. I mean, and especially if it doesn't cost you anything. It takes your time and let's call it $20 in gas to put your car on the trailer and drive it down there. I mean, that's going to be the cheapest $20 you're going to spend for your racing program, that's for sure.
Yeah. You might get the most return out of that $20.
Very possible. Yeah, it could be the largest return on your investment, absolutely.
Right. Is the winer going to be doing wine tastings this year?
Yeah, I believe so. I was contacted by the girl that does their... they have a different person doing all their marketing stuff every single year. So it's every year I have to start over with the person.
Right.
But actually, the girl that's doing it now, I went to school with her sister.
And
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but so hopefully I'm going to get up there and talk to her. They're right up the street from me. So they should be there. And, you know, I had the same issue. The mall has been great as far as the mall management goes. The end of the show last year, I had a little disagreement with the mall marketing person that we pretty much ironed out. And then she contacted me about doing the lease for this year, so I was all like, all right, yeah, let's get into Speed World. That was back in September.
Sure.
So I wanted to get it on the calendar, and then I talked to a friend of mine who works in security out there, and she told me that girl quit. I'm like, great. So now I got to start over with a new marketing person all over again. But thankfully, the marketing person that took over was actually their, I think, the head of, like, housekeeping for the mall. She's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows the show. She knows what we do. And she knows what we need, so and they're helping us out a lot more with setup this year too.
That's perfect.
So all good things. Yeah.
That's one of the benefits of being there for a long time. You know, that longevity thing. You start making the connections, and even though there's ebb and flow in the management, you know that might be of benefit because people that have been around, even though they might not be in the lead positions, they at least know what you need and what the demands of the show are, and it's easier to adjust to it versus trying to retrain a person year after year after year. And you're doing the Pinup Girl contest in Center Court again?
Yeah, it's in the works.
In the works. Oh, okay. I thought that was done. Smart. I'm sorry.
Well, no. What it is that the last year it was the CNY Rockabettis were the ones that were going to do it, and most of them are members of a group called Vintageer Veterans. They support local veterans groups. And last year, because of the weather on that day, we lost a bunch of people. So the girl that runs the group called up people from the Southern Tier group, which is the Parlor City Dolls, and next thing you know, like 10 girls came up from another show up to my show after, and they did the whole thing there, and we had a blast. So now I've been in contact with them more than the CNY Rockabettis, and I'm hoping that they're going to come through and handle the whole thing for me because... Like last year, I had to set a lot of the stuff up, and then they just got there and did their thing. The Parlor City Dolls group, they like to do all their own stuff, which is perfect because, you know, knock yourself out, do it up.
Right.
You know, and that was a lot, you know, people were, like, skeptical about, you know, doing that. They're like, oh, why would you want to have, like, a pinup girl contest at a, you know, at a race car show? And I'm like, really? why wouldn't I? I mean, if they want to do it, let them do it. You know, so I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Well, and, you know, it really does, let's call it, you know, harken back to the days of, you know, the hot rodding thing, right, where auto racing, organized auto racing all came from, right? I mean, that's literally earlier this week, I got a picture from a guy that I work with out in Albany, and he has a, what kind of car was it? It was a 38 Packard.
Really?
And it was a part, and I had a picture. What I got sent a picture of was a six pistons on the table and a broken ring. And he was asking whether or not that, you know, that would cause the engine to smoke. And I'm like, well, it's certainly not going to help at all. But in the background of this picture on the table was a picture of a pinup. And I'm like, oh, by the way, love the pinup. Totally period correct, right? So I think it's totally cool that you guys have the pinup contest. Well, I guess we'll call it a contest show, whatever it would be. I think it's cool that you have it at the show. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, and then the girls all went around because we had half a dozen photographers there as well. The girls went around and took pictures with a lot of the cars, and the pictures are actually on the Speed World Facebook page.
Yeah.
Actually, the cover photo on the page is the girls in front of that that red Ford Galaxy that was there.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that was a good time. And you know, obviously Chris knows all about this cross-promotion, you know, working together. And, you know, my stuff goes on their website, their stuff goes on my website. You know, we all work together. So that's how you get people together. That's how things happen.
Now, is the show on the same weekend this year as it was last year?
Yep, March 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday. Setup is the 1st, which is Friday.
Okay.
And we always have the weather contingency plan in effect, that if it's supposed to be really, really bad on Friday, we will have the option of bringing cars in on Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're super flexible with us. And, I mean, face it, I love them all out there, but not a lot going on during the week.
Right.
So we can get in there and pretty much work under the radar. I will say this, Finger Lakes Mall Management has done a great job of getting local businesses into the mall, and there's mm-hmm. actually a lot of stores in there that are full now. Mm-hmm. So, bad for us because we've lost some store spaces, but on the other hand, I want to really say that probably half a dozen of the store spaces that are full in there are full because people came in during Speed World and right. decided to set up shop in the mall, because while they were at the mall, they talked to people from the mall management and found out how cheap it was to get a spot.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
That sure does help, you know.
Sure does.
And it looks good. You know, when you're walking around, you know, you see this sleeping mall with a Bass Pro that's parked out in front, jettisoning out into the parking lot, and then you get inside. If it's a ghost town, you wonder how much more option you've got in
right.
terms of how many more years this is going to happen. But Bass Pro seems committed to Finger Lakes Mall, and that, thankfully, is given local businesses a chance to expand the pizza joint that was in the food court. Initially, at the first of the year, they said they were done. They're gone. They're
yeah.
moving out. And Subway ended up leaving. But now the pizza joint has both of the spaces, and I guess somehow ended up with some of the stuff that was left over from Subway.
Oh.
So now they've been able to diversify their menu. They got both the spaces. They're yeah. hopping, and they're stuck around. So,
yeah.
I mean, it worked out. That's one of those things where it worked out really well. And then they've got the movie theater there, too.
Well, see, I don't know if it was last year that I discovered it, but there's the bakery inside there as well, the local bakery that has all mm-hmm. sorts of pastries and cookies. And man, I went in there for just for a cup of coffee in the morning, and I was like, oh my God, look at this place! I could go crazy here, right? And that's just totally cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nice to have you know, different businesses like that in the mall space. You
right.
know, they don't have to be all chain stores that you would see at
right.
every other mall.
What was the name of that place?
That's Bradford Heights Delights. That's Mark Soper's business. He helps us out with the show. He's donated stuff in the past. We've given away his prizes and things. And real good guy. And don't go in there if you're on a diet, because you're not going to do well. It's not going to work out for you. But yeah, he's got some real good stuff in there. Speaking of food too, if you come in on Friday night to set up, of course, I always set up a buffet so that everybody can eat, because in the past, the first year that I had the show, a lot of people come from work. They load their race car or car, you know, whatever car in the trailer and bring it to work with them, and then they come from work to the mall
mm-hmm.
so they can get a good spot.
Right.
And so they come in the mall, and everybody got done loading their stuff, and they're like, man, we're starving. Let's go get something to eat. And it was after 7 o'clock. Everything in the food court was closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like, all right, well, next year we're going to have our own food. Well, now the food court's staying open late, but I still feed everybody, and they come in. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, that'll be in the Joann Fabric Store. We'll set up tables and chairs, and we'll have a nice buffet line in there. And last year, I think I smoked like 32 racks of ribs, and I had pulled pork, salt potatoes, and coleslaw and everything. And, we had a big pile of food. Everybody went home full.
I guess I didn't...
had a couple of coolers full of ice-cold Schaefer beer.
I guess I mean, Chris and I really haven't even talked about it yet. I guess we're just not good about planning more than like a week in advance.
What do you mean?
Are we going to be broadcasting again?
That's the plan. At least I am. I was actually up at Velocity again last night, just finalizing all the stuff for
yeah.
the race. We
yeah.
we looked at the area where the derby track was going to go. We looked at the layout of the RC track itself so that we can set the table out in front and do some of the podcasts from out in front of that facility with the camera trained on the track so you can see the off-road stuff happening in the background. Friday night, in terms of move-in, I'll probably drag the podcast stuff up there. That's contingent, of course. I got to get the hotspot turned back on. But that's secondary. We don't have to worry about it. But yeah, all that's...
Wi-Fi in the mall, too.
I almost think that we tried to hit off the Wi-Fi in the mall, and it worked for one show, and we moved either up the hall or down the hall by, 100 feet, and then we couldn't hang on to the signal. We ended up using the hotspot for one of them. I can't say for sure. That was many, many failed connections ago.
I have to get on board with that because I'm going to do an addition of my podcast or my webcast as well, my Facebook Live deal. Do you care if I plug that?
No, go ahead.
On Wednesday nights, 8 p.m., from the Dirt Motorsports Hall of Fame and Museum in Weedsport, we do a show called Inside the Hall, and it's about an hour show. You know the deal. If you get talking about something, you could be out there for the next 3 days talking about something if it's really good. But we just have a random kind of schedule where people can come on the show, and it's a video show, obviously Facebook Live. I've got a whole switcher program that runs, so it looks somewhat professional, except for the fact that I'm handling all of it, so it's not that professional. We talk racing. We talk about different clubs, organizations. We had a night on there. We had a whole bunch of track officials on there. We talked about what it is, what it's like to flag at racetracks or be an official and how things have changed over the years. We've had shows with photographers, media persons. We had Mel Thomas on one night and John Mulalling from the museum. And we've had some really, really good shows. As much as I can get out there to do them on Wednesday nights, we do them, and it's featured on the Finger Lakes Speed World Facebook page, and the shows are archived on the page, so it's a Facebook Live, but then it stays recorded on the page, so you can go back and watch it.
And how long have you been doing that, Jim?
I started that back in beginning of October. What happened was I worked the museum on Wednesday nights, so if people want to come in and take a tour or something like that, I'd be there. And because people never knew it was open, so I was like, we need to have somebody out here. So I volunteered to go out there on Wednesdays from 6 to 9, and people come in and tour the museum. So one night, nothing was going on, and which happens a lot of nights there on Wednesday nights. And I pulled out my phone, and I was thinking I wanted to do like a Facebook Live and talk a little bit about the museum. So I started walking around and talking about the museum and doing the little thing on my phone. And then I set it up on one of the easels that we use for pictures. Yeah. I kind of backed up from it. I started talking. And then somebody sent me a Facebook message and said, you should do that every week. You should pick a topic and do it every week. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do it every week. I was just having fun.
Yeah.
Well, next thing you know, I got a video switcher program, and I got a brand new desktop computer, and I got four monitors, and I've got, a bunch of cameras and a bunch of microphones. And I got the whole thing set up there, and still somewhat of a temporary setup. But I actually, Doug Elkins from Doug's Dirt Diary came out and subbed for me one night, did a great job. His daughter ran the switcher program. And, we've had some real fun with the show. And the conversations are great because it's not an interview thing. It's like what you guys do. It's just a conversation. We're just talking.
Right.
We're just rapping about racing.
Yep.
And it keeps me busy. I got a lot of stuff that's happened over the past few months here, and not all of it good. And I just, try to keep myself busy.
Sure. Understand that. Understand that for sure. The show there is pretty strong, and I like that it's Facebook based. It's just all of a sudden you get an alert that says Jim Olin is live, or
right.
Finger Lakes Speed World is live, whichever way that it's being pushed out, and there it is. You just hit it and watch it, and it's over. There's no upload, extra clicks, or anything. It's kind of cool the way that came together, and it is. It's just one of those conversational things. It's not like it's a structured interview. It's really free flow. Kind of like what we do here,
Well, that's what I tried to tell so many people, so many guests that are looking to come on the show, is that the people that are nervous about it, and it's like, it's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking about racing. I mean, it's all it is.
I mean, the kids with the quarter midget, the kids with the quarter midget club here in Syracuse, they want to come in, but, we don't want to be on TV. I said, you're not going to be on TV. You're going to be on Facebook Live. And, two or three people that have nothing better to do while they're in the toilet or whatever are going to be clicking on this thing. Oh, geez, Jim Olin's live. Let's watch this,
Right.
And it's not, there's no pressure there. It's just fun. And boy, I'll tell you, the kids are the best because they come in and they're so candid, and all they want to do is talk about their race and right. how much fun they have. That just lights me up like a Christmas tree. But even you guys could come out some night. You know, we talk about everything.
Right.
So I haven't had any kind of like drag racing presence. I haven't had any kind of like demo derby presence out there. So, you know, maybe it's a time where we can put some stuff together like that.
Sure.
Dave Mills was supposed to come out and talk about Velocity Raceway, but he bailed on me for whatever reason one night, and I never got him back out there. But,
well, the trouble with that is I believe he runs Oval on Wednesday nights. He's got racing on Wednesdays. That might be one of the challenges with getting him out there, but I'm sure that something could be figured out. I mean, I'm on board with all that stuff. You work out there, out that direction frequently enough, or you could probably meet up with us.
You know
where the Hall of Fame is, right?
Can't say that I do.
You know where Weedsport Speedway is?
Yeah.
It's the big wood-sided building right in the front yard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's easy to get to.
I'm always driving through there, so it's like... We were gonna meet up there sometime. Sure. I mean, it's like I just stop on my way home. Just tell the wife, hey, I'm not gonna be home for dinner. Right.
Right. Yeah. She'll be celebrating to hear that news.
Yeah, probably. She was trying to get rid of me. Was it last night? 2 nights ago? I forget what the heck it was. And she's like, oh, I'm not trying to get rid of you, but you know, if you wanted to go to your buddy's house in Buffalo and spend the night, you certainly could. It's like, what's a boyfriend come over tonight or something? But, yeah, I'd love to talk drag racing for sure.
10 ways to tell she's just not that into you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, it's fun.
We were asking about doing an at-large show. I mean, that's one way of doing it right there.
Certainly, that'd be one way to do it. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to take this show on the road and get out to Buffalo and try to hit up Jansen and you know, Jim Salemi's shop, G-Force Racing, and I mean, there's so many guests that we could hit, get on the road. But
I like your idea of going out there on the weekend and then uploading it on a Thursday.
Yeah,
I think that's because they don't have to worry about the hotspot.
We don't have to worry about the hotspot. I mean, it's going to be certainly
no
easier
connection
to schedule.
Challenges.
You're not doing it in the middle of the evening. Everyone's going to, you know, work the next day. So it's like, I mean, I know, you know, most of the shops, most of those guys, they are all working Saturdays anyways. So it's like, you know, to say, hey, we want to come out and set up and take an hour of your time on a Saturday morning or something like that, that's typically no big deal. And, yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that we haven't had a chance to have on that people would like to hear from that yeah, we could do it if we did something like that.
Yeah, I'm on board with it. I think it's cool. The Finger Lakes Speed World Show, again, happening at Finger Lakes Mall in Auburn, New York, March 1st through the 3rd. March 1st is the setup night. Got to come in a little bit later in the evening and get everything all set up in position for the opening of the show on Saturday. It runs concurrent with mall hours Saturday and Sunday, and then Sunday everything wraps up, you know, when the mall closes, so everybody has a chance to get home early. They do ask that you wait as close to the end of close operational hours before you start breaking down your displays, just so that we have something to look at until the mall closes. It's sort of understood that you're not going to close up shop Sunday at 10 o'clock and then leave a vacant space. The Saturday night program typically there's been a bunch of different ways of doing it. There's been the viewing party for the racing at the Moody Mile. There's been bands in the past. Do you have anything planned for Saturday night for the quote-unquote vendors party or the displayers party?
Not as of yet. We didn't really do much last year on Saturday night because it's a long day.
Saturday. It is a long day.
A lot of people get there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever. So hanging out until basically what happened was the year that I had Castle Creek out there, it was myself, Heather, her parents, and like 8 other people standing there watching a band that I paid $700 for. But we stayed for every note. And I got up on stage and jammed out with my guitar with them, and we had a good time. So, basically, that was me playing in my own personal sandbox. But
right.
As far as that goes, I don't know that we're going to have anything that's going to go into the night on Saturday night. we do have a lot of events throughout the weekend that I don't have everything nailed down yet, but I will soon. I got to have a staff meeting coming up here pretty soon to make sure that we're going to get everything on board. We will be doing some kind of an awards ceremony on Saturday evening, I believe, because this will be the first year that Finger Lakes SeaWorld has ever had, like, actual awards.
Right. You got the ability to do it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I just think that there's so we have such a blank canvas to work with. You know what I mean? There's so many things that can be done with the show. And the first year was like, let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. And then the second year, I was like, all right, well, that sucked, and that didn't work, and the other thing didn't work, so we're not going to do that again. Let's try this over here. And every year, it just keeps getting better and better. So the only problem with getting better and better every year is eventually you're going to run out of better and better. But, you know, I believe in it. So, and I'm not doing it for the money because I don't make a nickel. In fact, it costs me money to put that show on, so...
The better and better, is this then, is it safe to say that this is a turn the corner year? I mean, last year the show sort of hit its stride, and now this year you've got the opportunity to, instead of so much being better and better, you're going to be able to introduce some new and different, and in which by proxy would lead to that continued growth that you're liking to see?
That's a very good possibility. I don't like to make presumptions about it because as soon as I think I'm doing the right thing, that's when I fall on my face.
Sure.
we've got some organizations involved last year that are going to continue to support this year. Like we've always had Frank Dahl from Bass Pro Shops. His kids race mic rods at the Syracuse mm-hmm. Mic Rod Track.
Sure.
And I worked with them last year. I actually started as their flagger last year. At the end of the season, and of course they were heavily involved with SeaWorld last year. They had like 14 cars there up in the wing by the old Stephen Berry store.
Right.
So we had that going on, and Syracuse Quarter Midget Club was involved. Well, Syracuse Quarter Midget Club's going to come back in a bigger way. We actually picked up a couple of rookies last year from Finger Lakes SeaWorld that started this year in quarter midgets and that are returning for the 2019 season. And new addition this year, got to be really good friends with Colleen and Dave Bennett. And Colleen Bennett and Dave Bennett are the founders of a program called the Keys Program, which is a program that offers experiences to kids that are dealing with or families that are dealing with childhood cancers and other debilitating diseases. So what they do is they do these things called smile experiences. One of the smile experiences they do is they get together with the local quarter midget clubs. They have their own quarter midgets that they travel with, and they bring these little cars out to the track, and these kids who would probably never have an opportunity to drive in a race car have the opportunity to go out on the track and turn some laps by themselves. The cars
really?
Are covering down, so they're relatively they move along but relatively slow.
Yeah.
If you look up the Keys Smile Experience on YouTube, you'll see videos that people have put together of their kids going out and doing this. And basically what it is it's a respite. It's a time for families that are dealing with this stuff to just get away from it. No
right,
treatment,
right.
No talk about cancer, no talk about, anything like that. And they just come out and have fun. But the other thing that they do a lot of is music and music therapy. They have music therapists that go to, like, Golisano Hospital and out to Strong in Rochester, to the Golisano wing out there. So they do all this stuff, and they're a nonprofit. They do all this just because they want to do it.
Right.
And they're wonderful people. They are going to be doing – they're going to have a display at the show this year. They're going to talk a lot about their organization this year, and then next year – the 2020 version of Finger Lakes SeaWorld is going to be a weekend long Keys smile experience. And it's going to be events for the kids all weekend. It's tough for them to put stuff on schedules because a lot of these kids have treatment the last days. So they're going to try to put together some kind of a schedule for the 2020 edition. Like I said, it's going to be an all weekend thing for these kids to have, a whole weekend of just fun. With us, and we're glad to have them. So that was a big addition to the show this year as well. So make sure you stop by their booth and have some words with them. And they thrive on donations. And also, any of the drivers out there, if you have used racing equipment that may be outdated for you or doesn't fit you or doesn't fit your kids anymore, if you're into kart racing or mic rods, quarter midgets, anything like that, they take donations of used racing equipment because all the kids have to have that stuff when they go out there and run the cars.
Cool.
And we're talking kids all the way from 5 to 18, 19 years old, so all different sizes.
That's cool, though. the smile experiences.
Yeah, that is super cool. I mean, I have to say, overall, I've never seen anything like that out at the drag strip. And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't we have their group potentially try to come out to Empire one Saturday, right? And yeah, we can't necessarily let them go down the track, but hey, you know what, guys? I know guys would line up to say, hey, you know what, hop in the car, I'll take you for a ride around the pits in the race car, right? And if the junior dragsters were there, I'm sure a lot of the kids would enjoy watching the junior drag competitors race and look at the cars and stuff like that. Certainly sounds.
There's got to be people at Empire that still have passenger seats in their car that are racing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, theoretically, could you take them down the track if it was a passenger seat, or do they frown on that?
Generally frown on that. I mean, it's been a while. At one point in time, I think it was Lancaster that did it. It was like a VIP ride-along program.
Yeah.
And if you had a second seat in the car and belts and safety equipment and all the rest of it, they allowed people to do it, but generally insurance regulations are, it's a kind of a big no-no. Now, streetcar-wise, I mean, anybody could do it and get it in a streetcar and do it. A lot of the street competitors actually do it. They have
That white GMC that's sponsored by Western New York Super Run?
That's right. I would say a lot of the street guys do it because they'll have the second passenger essentially in the vehicle essentially as their spotter as they're going down the track. Here he's coming, you know, telling you what's going on, right?
Sure.
So I think the insurance regulations really keep people from going down the track as a passenger, but...
Didn't you ride on the floor of the Corvette or something?
I did, yes. When I was, like, 7 years old, I was terrified, and my dad was sitting in the driver's seat, strapped in, you know, fire suit, helmet, all the rest of the stuff, and I'm there wearing a helmet, and I think I borrowed somebody's fire jacket, but I was sitting on a towel and maybe somebody else's fire jacket just to give me a little bit of cushion. And okay, hang on. And yeah, terrified, absolutely terrified. It was interesting, but yeah, that would never ever fly today. I mean, it's the same thing, right? As when I was a kid, you know, riding in the back of the pickup truck, that was totally kosher, right?
Back of the wagons. Yeah.
You see someone riding a kid riding in the back of a pickup truck today, more than likely the cops are going to pull him over within 30 seconds.
Yeah, they're not getting far.
Right.
What iteration of the Corvette was that? I mean, are we talking, did it have all the heavy interior bars and stuff, and you're sort of like bouncing off the bars and stuff inside, to those, or was it just an open passenger floor?
It was basically, I guess I would call it very similar to the configuration it is now. I mean, it was an aluminum floor.
So it was a race car.
It was a race car. Yeah, there was no carpet or anything like that. It was a race car. The big difference was that at the time, it was a modified eliminated race car. So I mean, it was a 317 cubic inch small block Chevy. You know, leave at 9,000, and that was a manually shifted 5-speed. So leave at 9, shift at 9, and yeah, that car was violent. It was really violent. compared to today, you know, where I'm running on a throttle stop with an automatic, I mean, it's a nice, smooth, easy ride. I mean, you let go of the button, and yeah, I mean, if you make sure you sit back enough so it doesn't snap your head back when you leave the line, other than that, it's a pretty smooth ride. The 5-speed cars, I mean, those things are jumping all over the place, and that thing was crazy.
Do you need to go talk to somebody about this? It seems like it's left a not so much a mark, but a scar.
Yeah, and you know, I will say, like I said, I mean, it was definitely scary at the time. Now, once you make your first lap down the track and you come back around, did I think it was the coolest thing ever? And you know, again. I don't remember, honestly, but I just remember being terrified.
Because all that was wiped from your memory. That's tucked away someplace.
Yeah, it's some type of it's blocked, so I don't curl up in a fetal position on the floor, right? There wasn't, I will say, I don't remember. I'm sure other people did it, but you know, my dad had a little bit of leeway because of how long he had raced at the track, and he was good friends with the track director and stuff like that. So I don't think that was offered up to, hey, anybody that wants to take somebody down the track, knock yourself out.
But, you don't think so?
No.
I think that's...
But regarding the keys program, like I said, I mean, you can definitely take people for rides around the pits, and I mean, that's the type of thing that kids still love, right? Hey, yeah. Just give me an opportunity to sit in the driver's seat and you know, put the safety equipment on and stuff like that.
They could probably take them down the track slow. Like if they put two cars up there side by side and just run them 40-50 mile an hour down the track, let kids see each other and stuff like that. That would probably be, you know, I think that would be more fun. But
you can definitely do that for sure.
Anything, anything to get the smiles, right?
Oh, that's absolutely. The whole point. Right.
you could put them in a set up a junior dragster and make it radio controlled. And just sit them in there. Here you go.
You know, we had a guy
controlling it. Just hit the button and let them launch.
Right.
We had a guy down in Morris at an event who they had a Power Wheels demolition derby, and the dad rigged it up so that he could control it with his cell phone and put his kid in the car. His kid couldn't drive it. It was not going to be able to drive it at any juncture, but sort of wanted to have the experience. And the dad set it up so that he could control it with his phone.
That's
the kid got to go out there. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Power Wheels Racing is returning to Speed World, too.
Is it coming back?
So, yeah. Last year, we had it at the old Stephen Berry's place where he had all the open floor there. And after they finished the race and they were doing like their little awards and everything, like Daryl Ruggles from Ruggles World of Out of Body, and he always has his two sprint cars down there in front. Daryl sponsored their event last year, and they had some pretty cool prizes they gave away to the kids. And then after they did all the prizes, Daryl and a bunch of other guys jumped on the Power Wheels and had an adult race, and that was a riot. Yeah. And apparently they're starting to cheat with these Power Wheels now. They're re-gearing the motors and spraying the tires down with Rhino Liner because it gives them more traction. And who knew? I guess you can race it. You can cheat with it, right?
Did I tell you about the company I think it's near Minneapolis.
No.
Before. We haven't gotten into this before. They make aftermarket Power Wheel stuff. So you can call this place up and say, I've got this model, and they have an option for wheels, they have an option for motors, they have options for batteries, they have options to extend the frame so that it's adult-sized. They have all this crazy stuff. I mean, we've had, in my experience with that Power Wheel stuff, we've had people that have put, you know, motorcycle or lawnmower batteries in it, and they almost lit their kids' backsides on fire.
Yeah.
Or you take the self-tapping screws along the tread of the wheel so that the screw head digs in and it gets better grip and stuff like that. But there's a company that is dedicated just to that. And if anybody's wondering, there's this trick of the trade, life hack type deal with Power Wheels. If you find a Power Wheels on the side of the road, and you can figure out what's wrong with it, if you get a hold of Power Wheels and tell them, hey, I have this and this is what went wrong, generally, it's not a slam dunk guarantee. Generally, they'll send you the part.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Best kept secret.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah. They generally will send you the part.
That's pretty
generally.
Cool.
I don't know if they're sending.
I bought my daughter a 2-year-old, my 2-year-old daughter, I bought her the oh, what the heck is this thing? That's the Yamaha Raptor,
right?
Power wheels, and boy, she was seeing her face when she saw that. 2 years old, and she can ride it, which is amazing. And she's probably going to be racing in the little kids division at the Power Wheels racing this year. But I think I'm going to need some of those parts because she's rough on stuff. Definitely takes after her father. She will make some. She better marry either a doctor or a mechanic. have the money to fix it, or have the guy to fix it. One or the other. So,
I would say it makes me kind of sad that we sold my oldest son's Power Wheels at a garage sale like 10 years ago. I kind of wish I still had it so I could put Rhino lighting on the wheels and come out and compete with the rest of the adults at Speed World in a couple of months.
Now that you're grown up, you're bummed out you can't raise Power Wheels.
Right. I've said it before, though. You know.
I've had thoughts in the past. There was a concessions company that was selling out here. It was, I forget where the hell they were, up by Watertown someplace, I think. But they had a whole bunch of pedal cars. They were adult size, like you buy a Tractor Supply or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
And they were selling them for $85 a piece. And I was like, oh, that would be Speed World. I mean, think about all these race car guys that compete in dirt modifieds and drag cars and everything else. Getting out there, and we set up an oval track in one of the stores and let them go out there and just pedal car race out there. I mean, how much fun would that be?
Right.
It'd be awesome.
You know?
That would be cool.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. I missed out on that deal, though.
Yeah, you gotta have deep pockets to make that happen. Because you gotta have six of them.
I could have made it happen money wise. I had it. It wasn't the money. It was the time. Oh. This damn internet is so fast. There's people out there that, like, you know, I don't know what they do all day. They just must hit refresh 100,000 times a day just so they can get the deal. And then when something pops up, they're like, oh, gotta go get it. No. I can't get somebody to show up at my house to pick up something for free.
And I have to say that it doesn't matter what it is. If it moves, people will race it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely true.
it does not matter. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, I want to say I've seen it all, but I probably haven't. There's probably something that I would be like, oh, my God. I mean, who knew that people would race that? But, I mean, I'm sure you've seen them. Have you seen the belt sander races?
Is that ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Power tools races, belt sanders, circular saws, anything that's got a motor in it, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Circular saws.
I had a bar stool racer. Those have gotten a lot. They kind of went away a little bit, but they were really, really popular for a while as bar stool racers. And the one that I had had a professionally built go-kart racing motor on it, which generally those have like stock 3 or 5 horse Predator motors on them or whatever. And this thing would do, we had it topped out at 58 miles an hour. And I mean, that's way too fast to be going on a little tiny bar stool with like an 18 inch wheelbase.
Yes.
It was fun.
I survived.
Yeah. Well, yep. Did that. Watch my beer. Hold my beer. Watch this. But, yep.
Well, definitely looking forward to going out to Finger Lakes Speed World again this year. And now that we've talked about it, and I know we're going to be broadcasting from there sometime on Saturday, I'm assuming we'll be doing the show.
We'll hash it out at production after the show.
Okay.
All the plannings. Planning is done at appropriate times.
Yes, yes. But, well, I'm looking forward to it. This would be my third year, I think.
Third, yeah.
Yeah.
You going to get the Corvette there?
Probably not.
How about Phil's car?
Definitely not.
Whoa.
Phil's car. Phil's going to be in Florida.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Phil's going to be in Florida still. That's right. Yeah, that's 100% out. the Corvette has... there's a potential that the Corvette could be there, but I am so lazy.
I know. I understand. It's not the first I've ever heard this story either.
It would require me taking it off the jack stands and loading it in the trailer and...
I have this Corvette that's been in my family since the 60s, and it's just so hard to show it to people.
Nobody cares.
I bet you they would.
Yeah.
You put the. How many 63 split windows did we see through the last year?
I don't know. 7, 8
at the show.
7 or 8.
In my show, you didn't see one. I've never had a Corvette in there, not ever. So it'd be nice to have at least one.
See.
Well, we'll see. Maybe at the production meeting, Chris can twist my arm and...
I'll start bending arms.
Yeah.
I'll promise some loopholes on the next Mega.
There you go.
I'll put you in charge of collections, too. Chris Marker, the official leg breaker of Finger Lake Speed World.
It's got a nice ring.
Yep. That's a track announcer in me. For all your leg breaking needs, call Chris Marker.
Sounds good.
Anyway.
I'm not afraid to go back into witness protection. Well, Jim, man, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us for a little while and talking about Finger Lakes Speed World. Again, Finger Lakes Speed World is March 1st through the 3rd. Moving on the 1st, the show runs concurrent with Mall Hours on the 2nd and the 3rd. Very active Facebook page if you're looking for details, schedules, vendors, or other upcoming appearances that are tied to Finger Lakes Speed World. It's going to be happening at the Finger Lakes Mall in Auburn, New York, March 1 to 3. Check them out on Facebook. Jim Olin's in charge of it. Jim, man, I'm glad that the podcast has taken off so well for you. And I guess it's a Facebook live stream, I guess is the better way to call it. Give Facebook credit where deserved, right?
Yeah.
And
they put any money in my pocket, so you know.
I understand. I understand completely. The podcast appears from the Northeast Dirt Motorsports Hall of Fame on Wednesday nights, and then of course Speed World is coming up fast, and it'll be upon us in. Probably, what is it, like 6 weeks?
6 weeks, yeah.
It's coming quick.
Yeah, something like that. Don't remind me. I'm trying to remind. I'm as we are talking about this, I'm pacing around the empty first floor of my house because we just did whole mess of demo work. We're taking out all the non-bearing walls, turning it into like an open floor plan.
Sure.
And yeah, this has just been like, so I have appliances coming in 2 weeks, and I have no place to put them, and it's just, yeah. So I'm hammered down on this, and I can't even find my desk to get back to work on Speed World, so I'm doing, just kind of doing everything I can to put the pieces together while I'm working on this.
If it's an empty floor, you can use the floor space, right?
There you go.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Perfect. It looks like you're surrounded by desk.
Yeah, there you go.
Jim, well, I do appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that we missed?
No, I think that's it.
Awesome. I will catch up with you here in a couple weeks on 31st lap, and I'm sure we'll have you on Crash Course as well.
Okay.
All right, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
See you later. There goes Jim Olin, Finger Lakes Speed World. It's always a fun show. I mean, it's not like it's a high-pressure show. It's not like there's a bunch of autograph sessions that the folks have to worry about. It's not like it's like he said, it's something for everyone, and you can sit around and you can do all the bench racing that you want to do, there is somebody to talk racing with all day.
Right.
And the kids also have something to do too, because it's a mall. There's places to go. There's a giant arcade. There's a movie theater. They can go wander a pretty safe facility while you talk about all the wins that you should have had with it.
Well, and I will say that's one of the allures, I guess. It's like I'm not a big car show guy overall, but that's kind of one of the allures that I really like about this particular show is the fact that it is, you know, pretty low key overall. So, you know, because of the flexibility of the mall, it's like, all right, yeah, weather's not good. Yeah, move-in's supposed to be on Friday, but you know, my guess is if, you know, schedule wise you couldn't make it on Friday for whatever reason, you wanted to do it on Wednesday or Thursday, yeah, okay, no big deal. Go ahead and bring the car in. And you know, it's a pretty, you know, it's an enclosed space, obviously, and people are pretty much just walking through the mall and looking at cars. And it's like you could just leave your car there and take off and be like, hey, I'm going to go grab something to eat. And yeah, you don't have to worry about your car being, I guess I'll call it, you know, screwed with while you're not there. And I mean, Jim is just super easygoing. So, I mean, if you wanted to, like I said, you know, show sponsorship stuff while you're there, you could do that, you know, hand out pamphlets and. So many of the places don't let you do that. It's like the instant that you're trying to do something like that, it's like, all right, now you're a commercial entity and you need to pay to do it. And so yeah, it's really nice from that standpoint. And I have to say, you know, last year it was super busy last year. There was a lot of cars there. Some really good looking cars too.
Yes. I still can't believe that we got that narrowed Opel.
Oh yeah.
And that came out of, it was up near Vermont, right?
That was, I forget if he was in Vermont or if he was just over New York State, that close to Vermont. But yeah, it was over that way someplace.
Well, I mean, he said that he spit out the back window and he hit Vermont.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was way up there and it was not the best weather to travel in.
Oh, no.
But he was there. It was cool to see that. And that, it was weird too to break the. What's the word? The cliche, I guess, of the gasser. The gasser is supposed to be a Tri-5 Chevy with a straight axle lifted up, and that ran with the gasser series,
right,
and we had all sorts of stuff there, and that was neat. Cause, I mean, I got to learn something about that, you know, talking with those guys. It was very cool, and there's been some changes in that orbit that we're going to be following up on in a couple of weeks to find out what all's happening with them. And again, South Butler will be in the conversation in the coming weeks. And you said you had who going to try and make it into the studio?
So Larry Pulver, I talked to Larry Pulver. So he actually went up to the TNT banquet, which was last weekend. And as chance may have it, so the TNT series, they run, they have their prize table, which is a legendary prize table at the banquet. And in addition to that, they do a... they do a raffle every year, so it's $20 a ticket or 3 tickets for $50. So yeah, last 2 years I have bought into the raffle, and the last 2 years I have actually won prizes at the raffle. And generally what they do is they take the best things that they get donated to them for their prize table, and that's the stuff that they set aside. So last year I won, it was basically a $1,000 certificate towards a set of cylinder heads from Dart, and this year I won... a Dino Day at Smith Performance Specialties. So FJ Smith donated that, and so Larry happened to have my certificate, so I was talking to him, and I didn't know, but Larry actually lives out in, I'm going to say the Palmyra area.
Okay,
sure. So I was actually going to meet him tonight on the way here to pick up the certificate, and then I called him, and I'm like, hey, just a brainstorm. I'm like, why not come on the show, right? And fortunately, it didn't work out tonight, but he's definitely amenable to coming in. He's very close, so
awesome.
Yeah, we're going to try and get we'll get Larry in the studio here for sure. Other one that Luke Bogacki from This Is Drag Racing, talked to him in the past too. Definitely want to have him on the show. He won't be in the studio, but I'm hoping to have him as a phone guest here in the next couple of weeks too.
We're also talking with Brandon Terry, all the folks with the RVA list down in Virginia. We'll be catching up with them too. I mean, we've got, you know, we always talked about it'd be nice to have stuff legged out.
Right.
There's a lot of names that we can look at for the next couple of weeks, and as you get ready to head off to the Great White North.
I got to get to work because we're going to have a show next week. Then I got to get somebody on the schedule for sure for next week. So
we'll get it taken care of. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for number 55 here tonight, Final Round Drag Racing Podcast. Big thanks to Jim Olin and for coming on the show and hanging out with us for a bit. And we'll be catching up with him at Finger Lakes Speed World next week. We'll be back with another edition of the Final Round. And then the week after that, we're going to kick back to the 31st lap. So keep your eye on the schedule. We'll let you know who's going to be where. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week.
This has been the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. We'll see you right back here again in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching.